her. Nick thinks it, there's nothing to it at all. Just go back to district court, and the district court will do it right back. Say it has nothing to do with it, and that'll be all there is to it.
Yeah, no, that sort of thing. That's where he's playing. So my brother and another man, my brother.
Well, that's one thing wrong about taking Tom out of there.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, but I think it'll still, I think we've still got the votes on that. I'm not sure. It depends on how it develops. That may hurt. Yeah. But we'll certainly lose a vote on that. The other side won't gain one, but we'll lose a vote. Because Tom, on the other hand, if you didn't appoint Ramsey, Tom will cool down on this thing. That I'm pretty confident of.
I think Tom kind of feels like we owe it to Ramsey.
No, I wouldn't say. No, I wouldn't. No, I don't mean that. I think that Tom is. Hard for him to avoid it. I think he's influenced by the side to go right down the line by thought that he wants to get maximum goodwill for Ramsey's sake. I know that. I think the tickets you put together in the State Department is just so good. There's so much more strength over there than we've ever had. I think it's just fine.
Did you hear any adverse comments?
No, sir. The only thing I heard was pride about Nick taking.
I think that you ought to answer that this way. You've known it about him a long time. Because I honestly believe it's true. I believe he's a pretty selfless fellow.
Well, I think so. No, I answered it on last night. I answered it on the basis that as I know, Nick, that this is who his real interest is.
He wanted to be Assistant Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Under Rusk, and Rusk asked Kennedy to make him Assistant Secretary of State. They didn't do it, and they put him over there just drafting opinions.
Yeah.
That's not what he'd like to do. That's not the move he'd go to if he had his choice. But he did it, and did it well, and he harassed around with our executive order on equal employment and all of the mean little dirty things that you and I've had to deal with all the years you've known me. And if you remember, he went back over it, and he was very quiet and easy and sold it to everybody and got him to accept it. And he did that job long until Wuzzer White quit. And then they brought him up and put him in that job. And that's about as mean a job as you can have with all the patronage and all the problems. And he did that one. Then when Bobby left, he came in to me, and I asked him if he'd like to have the circuit court here, or if he was interested in a court appointment. I thought he might make a good man for Supreme Court in New Bacon. And he said, well, it's a great honor, and I would enjoy doing it, but said it's not really my first choice. Said I'm a teacher. I want to kind of get out of that, get in. The reason I enjoy this is the activity of it, public service. I'm very interested in the international field, and I would like to have been Assistant Secretary of State, but I said, well, would you be interested in taking the CIA? And he said, yes, I'd like to have it. I'd be very happy to. Said, matter of fact, Mr. President, I would be glad to take any job that you thought I could be useful in. I'm not interested in the money or the titles. Said, I don't mean by that I have money, because I don't have. I said, I don't need a lot, and I get by all right with what I do. And we have enough. I would be glad to take any job. Well, now, I kept remembering that. That's the primary reason I made him Attorney General. That just appealed to me so much, as being such a good person, and you recommended him. So that's it. Well, I must say that outside of these two or three things he doesn't discuss, like the yes, those things. I must say that his judgment's been good, and his relationship with me's been good, and I've never seen any indication of sloppy work, or he lost his civil rights bill, but I don't think anybody could say that after the riot. I think Stokely Carmichael killed that when he appeared on the scene.
Yeah, I think this was a car that would kill it.
I think, though, that we're likely to get in serious trouble with this Department of Justice when they see him gone and they see a Texan in there.
Yeah.
I think that has great dangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, I don't suppose we could get Coleman to take the number two spot over there.
That or Solicitor General?
Yeah, but that'd be better than Solicitor General.
Would it?
For this purpose.
I don't know whether he's really in there with our judges and whether he'd play with us there. He's a Republican, you know. And I imagine he'd want to be getting justice for the Republican.
Well, what we'd have to do would be realign functions if they can't be enough. I don't know whether they cannot be. I don't know what the statutes would permit that.
No, the deputy handles all the personnel.
Is that, that's by statute?
I believe so.
Well, that would not do.
But I thought just the fact he had brought in the department could kind of be in the department would kind of cool him a little. I don't know anything that'll cool Carmichael. Because his whole future depends on him being way out on the edge.
Oh, sure. No, I think that's just fight to finish there, because it's a power fight within the group. This may be out of speculation. Is there, you know, this fellow Doar?
Yeah?
He's a hell of a good man. And I suspect Negroes have a lot of confidence in him. If he could be promoted, I don't know whether anybody takes place. Civil rights side. But something like that, you know, that a gesture to them at somebody who they have confidence in the number two spot.
I wonder if this Marshall thing wouldn't kind of rock the Negroes in this country and put them in a position where they wouldn't be too mean to me. The appointment to the cabinet, they never noticed it. I never got two letters acknowledging it.
Yeah.
And one of the men came in and told me yesterday, said, that's the greatest weakness of your administration. I said, what? Said, you've done too much. It was Peabody, running for Massachusetts.
Well,
and I said, what about it? He said, well, I'm the best governor Massachusetts ever had. Said, I came in, I cleaned up this state, I tried to stop this graft, I did so and so, and said, I passed 35 bills. And said, I passed so many that the average bartender couldn't remember one. Said, you came in, you passed 100 bills. Said, I can remember them. Said, I can name you 15 educational if I've looked at the list. said, you got your hot education, vocational education, education for the deaf, elementary education, secondary education, higher education, loans for all elementary students, work projects for high school students, loans for college students, and all these other things. Now, he says, a person can name a damn bill that you passed. Said you passed 100 the first year and 80 this year. And said, there's 180. And I said, if you give me 3, I can get elected. And I said, well, why don't you take Medicare? My God, that's one that everybody ought to know we passed. And why don't you take education and health, just as one outfit, and say that I have passed 40 bills on education and health. Heart, stroke, cancer, new hospitals, modernization, teachers training, nurses training, professional service. So, and take these 40 and say he passed Medicare, 40 health and education bill, poverty bill, and food for the world. Well, he said he could get it down to about 2 of them. He thought he'd take Medicare and something else. He says, just the fact you've got 200 just ruins you. And said, then besides, they think, God damn it, he could do it if he wants to, anything he wants to. No use having to pay extra nickel for bread. If he wanted to stop it, he could do it. He's able enough and he's slick enough. It's a hell of a note, too. And I noticed this New York Times said he's slick this morning. They are mean to me every day. They said this was going to be announced anyway. And they knew all about it. Hell of a damn human knew about it. But me, what happened was this damn Gene Rosto, I could kill him. I got him in. I said, now, Gene, there's one thing I'm not going to have is any leaks. And I'm just not going to have these columnists writing about when I'm going to bomb Hanoi and Haiphong like they did George Ball leak that, you know. And I had to wait a week before I could go through with it. He's worse than Adelaide. He got it from Adelaide. He just couldn't keep anything. So he said, that's right. I said, now don't you tell anyone but your brother and your wife that you've been off this. He said, all right, he wouldn't. He went out of the office and he called George Ball. I thought, oh, God almighty, I hope it won't. So I called Walt and got him. I said, now you tell Gene when he talks to George and everybody else, don't mention anything about this except to his wife and to the president that he has to get off the hook on up at Yale. But don't let anybody else know it. So he called him and told him again, specifically not to mention it to George. He went down to see Rusk and accepted. Got off from Brewster. Brewster was real nice. I guess I ought to call him. Thank him. He let him off, and it was a great inconvenience. He's head of this college, and he just fixed up his house, and he'd gone to a lot of expense. Mm-hmm. His wife had taken over a new outfit up there. Walt came in, and I said, well, what's Gene done? Well, he said, he called up George Ball and told him he'd accepted. And this was night before last, 8 o'clock. I said, well, I haven't got a chance in the world of announcing this because George Ball will announce it. Old George called himself a press conference at 3:30. I got one at 11. And I don't think he told a press conference, but I think he told him he was leaking, and I think he leaked it around who was going to do it. Because a week before he came in and told me he was going to send me a letter, and I said, I just thought, well, down home, we poison eggs once in a while to get these sheep killing dogs. And we put a little in the egg and lay it out where they can walk right into it. So I told George, I said, well, I don't know what in the world I'll do, George, when you're gone. I guess I'll have to have Ellsworth Bunker come in here and help us. We already talked to Bunker, and he said he couldn't do it physically. He wasn't up to it. But we liked him, and he's a natural, you know. And so George said he would be good. He would be good. And I said, well, now who do you think we ought to have in the second place? He said, well, he didn't know. And we talked around a little bit. And finally I said, well, Dean wants Luke Battle. Well, he said, I think Luke Battle will be very fine. Well, I said, well, we just may have to do that. Now, don't say anything about it to anybody. He said, well, now, I didn't say it to a human. And that's the only person, even Dean Rusk, we hadn't discussed those two with them. My God, Pearson picked it up 2 days later. Says, Johnson's already made the decision. Old George just took that egg, swallowed it, carried it right over and put it on. And I just laughed and enjoyed it.
It's been amazing.
He just can't keep anything, not even bombing Hanoi. But I got to work on Russia.